Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hej och välkommen till dagens avsnitt av Denk och Berns. Jag heter Denke och idag ska min poddkollega Berns intervjua två superkändisar från gamingvärlden, Lydia Winters och Vuvuzela. De blev kända främst genom sitt arbete med Minecraft, men de har också utvecklat inte bara ett stort klockintresse. De har också blivit lite experter på social media. Så vi bjuder på ett kul och inspirerande samtal med Lydia och Vuvuzela, där de och Berns bland annat pratar om hur det är att vara kvinna i den ofta grabbiga gamingvärlden, vem som har flest nördiga hobbies och risker och fördelar med att hålla hög profil online. Här kommer en liten glad överraskning för alla som lyssnar på podcasten Denk och Berns. Om man vill supporta och backa upp det vi gör så går det alldeles utmärkt att göra det via Patreon. Länk till vår Patreon hittar ni på patreon.com/denkeberns. Ni hittar den också på vårt Instagram och jag antar att den också finns i våran podcast-feed. Så alltså, vill ni backa Denk och Berns på Patreon så går det alldeles utmärkt och jättevälkommet. Och vill ni inte så är det helt okej också. Som en liten extra bonus för er som backar oss på Patreon så får man ett exemplar av boken Klockor, en tidlös historia. Som present och tackgåva. Tack så jättemycket för ert stöd och tack alldeles oavsett till alla er som lyssnar och tycker om vår podcast.
Hello and welcome to Denk and Berns. Today broadcast going to be all in English. We have two guests that I am really, really happy to have. I've been chasing you guys for half a year or something with my messages and everything. I'm so happy that you finally found time in your busy schedule to come and visit us. So today we welcome Lydia Winters and Vuvuzela.
Hi.
We're so excited to be here.
Yeah. We were also excited that you chased us down.
That's good. I'm not that good in chasing people down like this. So it felt like I was sort of stalking you and sending messages too much. But I'm so happy that we finally met. And this is going to be a really nice podcast today.
I think so.
Yeah.
Very excited about it.
If we start a little bit to talk about you, you as a person, you are living in Sweden, but you're not from Sweden. Tell me, what's your background?
So I am American from Florida. Vu is also American. We're both American. And I moved to Sweden, it'll be 11 years in December, to work on Minecraft. So that was the whole reason for the move. And I just love Sweden, even though I'm not speaking Swedish, but that's because, you know, Vu is my partner and he's American, so we'll blame that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm also American, as Lydia said. I'm from Los Angeles.
Ah.
So we both came from very warm places to come live in Sweden, and I came about 10 months after Lydia did, and joined same company, so also working on Minecraft, and we've decided to make Sweden our home. Permanently, as permanent as any home can be.
Yeah.
But I moved for work and Vu moved for love.
That's what she says.
Perfect. That's good.
She says that. Maybe 50-50.
I think it was at the same time. But 50-50. It's fine.
Yeah. So, and you met at work. Is that correct?
Or no, actually, we had met before that. I was a photographer and filmmaker in LA, and Lydia was also a photographer at the time, kind of.
Yeah. Oh, I got paid for it. So, yeah. Yes.
So you were
I was a wedding and portrait photographer.
And she was attending a workshop, and my brother and I were hired to film that workshop. And when we got to the workshop, the dynamics of the workshop were very interesting. And so a few of the people from the workshop ended up coming to my brother and I, asking us a lot of questions and wanting to learn from us. And that kind of blossomed into a friendship. Mm-hmm. And then later, Lydia hired me as a consultant at Mojang to help with an event. And that's how I joined the company, was because Lydia brought me in.
So. All right.
And then we started dating while I was working. So it's kind of all intertwined.
Yeah, it's all kind of mixed up. And then when I moved to Sweden, I just kind of moved in with her. So
he never left. Yeah. So.
That's great. And so there's no corporate rules about that. I mean, I heard about that in other companies, but
I mean, we were such a tiny company at the time. It was fine.
I mean, you were the 7th employee, and I was the 14th.
Wow. Yeah.
So we didn't have corporate rules when we were less than 20 people.
Yeah. These kind of rules are stupid, I think. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and that means you've been with Mojang and in Sweden for how many years?
I just hit my 11-year anniversary at Mojang, and I'll have 11 years in Sweden in December.
Wow.
So, yeah, it feels kind of wild. It's a very
long time.
A very long time.
We love it here.
And you're not 10 years, I guess?
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah. During your stay here in Sweden, you have been, besides the work, also focusing on watches and photography. And this is why I was so interested to get both of you here in the podcast studio, because both those photos are really, really amazing, but you also have a really nice setup when you explain how you done the watch photography and everything. Can you talk a little bit about, because you do it both together, right?
Well, I mean, so we do a lot of photography together, and I've learned so much from Vu over the years, I would say, because he was always a much better photographer than I was. Now maybe we're evening out after time.
I won't say if
we're getting closer. And so I think when he started his Instagram account for watches, I thought it was, you know, pretty silly. But I was taking photos of flowers, so I don't know why I thought that was much cooler. But then I think it's really fun whenever you can merge a few different passions together. So if you love watches and then you love photography, when you add them together, you get something that's a bit more special. And so to me, it's been really fun sort of adding that in. And then I like to show the behind the scenes, mainly because I like to see the behind the scenes, because I think that's the cool part about photography. It's like anyone can see the same area and take a photo that's very different. And so how did you think about it? I thought about it this way. So I really started doing it just to show people, what I saw and why I picked certain things. And you've always loved behind the scenes too. So that's something.
Yeah, I mean, in around 2009, my brother and I were doing a lot of photo shoots of these internet personalities. And that was around the time we started shooting a lot of video. You know, it was the convergence of DSLRs being able to shoot video. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, well, our same camera shoots the photos. We can also shoot videos as well. And we started shooting behind the scenes because we were always in love with behind the scenes. Like, we'd buy DVDs just to watch all of the extras that were on the DVDs. And we did one shoot We just filmed everything that we did. We turned it into a story. We even got a composer to make music for it. And we put it up and we realized it was way more popular and interesting to people than the photos themselves. Because how we made the photos and how we interacted with the person and how we guided them in front of the camera, many photographers wanted to see that. So it was both the fans of this personality loved seeing them in a more natural environment when they're just talking behind the scenes. And then many photographers and filmmakers wanted to see what we were doing. And we realized the power of sharing what you're doing. There are a lot of people who are afraid to do that. They don't want to show how they do something because they're like, oh, but if other people know, then they can do the same thing. But I don't think that's true. I think we all have a unique voice when we're making, whether you want to call it art or any type of creative thing, you have your own signatures and art. And I think that if we all had the same knowledge, we would all still make completely different things. So I think it's great to share and let other people be maybe inspired or maybe learn from what you do. And that has kind of just continued on into this photography thing. So Lydia always, every single photo, she has a behind the scenes photo that goes with it. And for me, I would wait until I'd take one that I thought was maybe an interesting setup, and then I do a behind the scenes video of it.
So back to your roots.
Yeah. We have a different approach.
And that is fun. And for me, that gives the photo much, much more depth and more meaning, and it makes it more interesting. So, and I think perhaps that's when I found your, Lydia, your account, Instagram account, because it was different from all other watch picture accounts. So, when you take your photos and when you have your account, do you have sort of an idea where you want to go with your pictures? Do you have a plan?
No. I really like accounts that are super planned, where, you know, the Instagram grid looks very, you know, alike, and you get this a very similar vibe. I think for me, what I realized as I was taking the photos is I'm very inspired by the watch, the place I'm in, sometimes not inspired at all. So I'm like, nah, I'm not going to take any photos today. And I really like to shoot individual images. So I don't like do a batch of photos at once, which is, you know, fine for a lot of photographers. They want to put out a lot of content. So they're taking, you know, their watch, setting it up in a lot of different ways. I kind of want each image to be quite different. And so it's really just whatever inspiration I find as I'm kind of looking around, and then try some stuff and kind of feel it out, I guess. I think the thing I most want is that when someone sees one of my photos, that they're like, oh, I know Lydia took that. And so that's kind of the thing that ties it together versus like a particular color or mood, because it's actually changed quite a lot since as I get different watches, and it's like, now it's all yellow. Yellow OP, everything's yellow. Probably before that on my account, there was zero of the color yellow in any image, and now it's just like all yellow. So I like just trying different things and testing it out and sort of experimenting, and then trying, I think the thing that's always tricky is you're trying not to let any sort of numbers influence you. Because obviously there are shots where I'm like, if I just took this shot over and over, people, they love it, they would keep loving it, but that doesn't push me creatively or make me want to shoot. So instead it's like, how do I change this up and not redo something, but instead just like start fresh? It's, you know, not the best use of time always. I could shoot a lot more at the same time and people would probably still really like it. But for me, it's more about my like creativity and just like having time with the watch and finding something that feels like, you know, the watch likes it too. So now I'm way nerdier than you about it after I was like, oh, watch photos.
Well, I'm so nerdy about it that I haven't been taking any photos.
Yeah, you're
lately.
A really bad Instagrammer.
I mean, we have completely different approaches to photography and even how we visualize the photo. I'm also not much for planning ahead what I want to do. When I would take photos, I would pick up the watch that I wanted to photograph and then think, okay, what do I want to do with this today? Similar to Lydia, I don't like to take batches, and I don't want to redo the same thing over and over. sometimes it looks that way because I have this kind of like shot where I use the light in a specific way and I change the backgrounds quite a bit. But the watch itself is posed very similarly because when I kind of develop that style, I really just wanted to show off the watch. And everything that wasn't the watch in the photo was just there to add a little bit of visual interest and to put the watch in a place. But really, it was all about the watch. And I kind of got bored of that style, which led to me stopping posting for a few months now. But I've been wanting to relaunch and with a completely new take on photography. I've always been a very technical photographer. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the big differences between Lydia and I. She's not technical, and she'll learn what she needs to learn in order to execute what she wants to execute. Mm. And for me, I want to learn all the technical aspects. Then I have this library I can choose from in whatever situation I'm in. This is a very different approach. So what I'd like to do now is actually relaunch with more bringing the watches into my life's environment and make it actually ends up being inspired by Lydia a little bit, but it's like
the student becomes the teacher.
her shots definitely give you a feeling, and they give you a glimpse into who she is as a person. My shots didn't do that at all. Maybe there's a couple shots with some axes or knives or, you know, like that kind of show that I have this adventurous
side. So you're a very
side.
Dangerous person.
But yeah. You could read the wrong thing from it. But I think that level of storytelling can exist. It doesn't have to for a photo to be enjoyable. But I think I'm going to start exploring that. And I've been talking about doing that this whole summer. I just haven't gotten around to it.
But I guess inspiration must be the key thing that you need to get into the mood and I mean
it should be fun. Exactly. It's a fun thing to do. So if it's not fun, then take a little break and go back when it's fun.
Right.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I also think there's different approaches to Instagram. If your goal is to grow, then it actually makes a lot of sense to do batch photography and also to kind of find a style that seems popular with the people who have follow you.
And that you and like then, to shoot.
I mean, but I'm saying if your goal is growth, then do that and do it over and over. It's not necessarily a bad thing. People like repetition. Mm-hmm. They actually, if you look at most people's Instagram feeds, it just looks like they're following just one person, right? Because they follow kind of similar things from many different people. And there's these trends and styles that are very pervasive. And it's the same way people listen to music, radios, right? They play similar music so that you'll listen and you want to hear that. So it depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to push yourself, which is what Lydia was talking about with her photography, then she has to be much more selective. And that means her output is much less. Mm-hmm. But if what your goal is to grow, maybe you want to make it into a business, maybe you want to attract watch brands as clients, then you may take a completely different approach where instead you are showing that you're capable, but also that you can produce work consistently and that you give people what they want over and over and over. And I think both can be very successful, but you achieve different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Do you think also it's important to follow? I mean, there was some discussion whether or not you should go with photos or with reels and so on when it comes to Instagram, that they were moving more towards movies and less than pictures. Is that also an important part for you when you do in your account?
I think for me personally, I am not focused on growth.
You're not even posting, so
well, yeah. Right now, it's been a few months.
No, you're not focused on growth.
I am not focused on growth. I do this because I think it's a great way to enjoy my watch hobby and my photography hobbies and kind of bring them together. And what I get out of it is the interaction with people. And one of the things that I've gotten out of it, because I used to teach photography and filmmaking, is I enjoy sharing that stuff so that people will ask me, how did you do that? Or can you help me choose, you know, the right lighting setup for this type of shot I want to do? Or how do I get the reflection to not be on the crystal? And I love helping people with that. So that's a big motivation for me, is that interaction. But yeah, if you want to grow with the platforms that you're on, then you kind of have to use their new features. And Reels, even though it's not brand new, it's clear that Instagram is prioritizing Reels. And if your focus is growth, then you have to get on Reels. But if you're a person who just loves still images, then, you know, you can still post them and still have interaction, but you probably won't see the same level of growth.
Yeah, with that said, neither of us post very many Reels. So
I've posted zero.
Yeah, I was going to say, you post like zero. I think I've done like five, but they're five. Only, you know, they're really when inspiration hits, like, you know, I put my watch in the ocean and it looks like the Little Mermaid or something. And then I'm
and then everyone freaks out like, you put your watch in the ocean, a wave could take it away.
Yeah, well, a wave did kind of like, oh, this would be a bad story. Bye bye, turquoise. Out to sea.
I mean, if you look at watches and you talked about cameras and photography, these kind of hobbies are quite close to each other, mm-hmm. aren't they? Yeah. You have the same level of nerdity and details, and you can dig more deep in both areas, right?
I think so. I think being into photography and watches is very expensive. Yeah. And if you really get into cameras, it can be almost the same thing as watches. You're into the details, right? Like most people are into watches, not everybody, but many people are into watches because of specific details that they like to nerd out on, whether it's specs, whether it's design details. You know, there's all these different details that you get into. Cameras are the same thing. You know, you start really getting nerdy about lenses and the combination of which bodies and which lenses can produce what results, and then into the technicalities of how to produce the work you want to produce. Then you have to get into lighting because, you know, you can only do natural light for so long. Eventually you're like, I'm tired of only shooting between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be able to shoot anytime. And then you get some lights and you start to play with them and you start realizing color temperature is really difficult to deal with, and it just becomes this endless pursuit because you can never be true. You'll never know everything about photography, and so you can just stay learning and growing constantly forever.
And then on the other side, both are male-dominated hobbies,
yes.
where people will yell at you for your choices. So, yes. I mean...
Absolutely.
Because, you know, are you Canon or Sony? You know, you hear many of the same conversations in the watch world about a certain brand, whether you love it or hate it. So I always take the approach in both, which is like, whatever you want to take photos with, like whatever inspires you to take photos is great. And whatever watch you want to wear is great too. Like I like watches and I like photography. So that means I should like all cameras and all watches. And so then it
becomes a lot more open.
And you don't
have to want them for
yourself. Yeah.
But you can be happy that other people make those choices.
I like seeing, you know, I think within the watch community, it's definitely, you know, more open now probably on Instagram than it was like forum days, which I've never been on, but I, from what I've heard. And so I think that's really nice. You can find so many cool and interesting people who feel the same about watches. Like, it's just cool that you wear a watch. So whenever I ask someone like, oh, what watch are you wearing? I'm a watch nerd. That's how I say it. And then they're like, oh no, don't lie. It's like, no, but I like watches. So I just want to see like what. And then usually someone has a story and here's why I wear it and here's why I like it. And the only people who don't are usually a guy who's like, oh, don't look at my watch. Like,
yeah, it's usually a guy. Yeah. But I think that that's how many communities are built. Is like one thing I like about the Instagram watch communities and the YouTube watch communities that that I'm a part of is there's a lot of growth of that community around a shared love of something, but there's just as many, if not more, really strong communities built around a shared hatred of something, right? And so I think in the forums, as Lydia was referring to, you often can see that, right? Like everyone likes to hate on a very specific brand, maybe it's Hublot or something like that. And it's like, oh yeah, we share that. We may like different things, but we know we hate this one, right? Yeah. But I see a lot more of that shared love in at least the people we interact with. And I like that kind of community because it's not about what you don't like. It's about what brings you joy, what makes you happy. And I think that's a really strong bond you can build with people over shared love.
Yeah. And that's what I want to put out with my photography. It's why I share the behind the scenes. Like Vu said, like sharing knowledge is just something like everyone knows different things. So if you can like freely share it and not think of anything as a competition. So I love seeing so much in the watch community. People are celebrating when someone hits a big milestone of numbers, and it's not like, but they got there before me. It's like, oh, that's so cool.
That's what they think quietly.
You put so much work in, and you're so dedicated, and you share stuff, and you take all of these photos. And I think the more you take any of these things, photography or watches, and you take away any sense of competition and instead replace it with community, then you have something that's really nice and that can make you friends around the world and people that you were not against each other. We all love the same thing.
Mm. It's really, really interesting that what you say about the forum mentality being more of a negative mentality. Mm-hmm. I come more from the forum community. I try not to be that negative, but still, I know exactly what you mean, and I see it daily, more mm-hmm. or less, and it makes me sad, of course, yeah. because it's not. It must be driven with positive energy, not this negativism. And
yeah, I think you can just get more joy out of that. And yes. isn't that what we're all trying to do, is find various ways to be happy in the world? Mm. I don't necessarily think of forums as a bad place, but I do think that text-based communication makes it so much easier to go negative. Mm. When you look at people's Instagram accounts, no matter what, even the people who think they're being very private, they're not. Mm. Like, sharing photos on Instagram, even if you're just taking pictures of watches, is a very personal thing. Mm. So I think that people feel more that they are representing themselves when it's through an image or a video versus text only, where you kind of feel more shielded and you feel more anonymous. Mm. And I think it's just easier to be negative when you feel fully anonymous, and that no one here knows you in real life. In real life, you're a nice person who loves to throw barbecues and have yeah. all your neighbors over. But on the forum, you're really angry mm. about this one thing. Whereas at least my experience on Instagram, people feel more like they're representing who they are. And so then they want to be a more positive influence.
Are you also active in these Facebook groups with watches?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I could only imagine. Yeah, I think there's probably, like, you know, Facebook groups are probably worse than forums, than Instagram. It's like you go through the levels of, like,
well,
yeah.
That actually goes against what I just said, because Facebook, you're using your real name.
Right. Yeah,
and
but
real
I think
account,
it doesn't
but there's
have
something
to matter,
about
yeah.
Facebook that just makes people go wild. No. I don't know. We follow our local community once, and we never post. We never post, but they are so fun to watch. I recommend anyone who lives anywhere probably just go to whatever your local community group is, and it's amazing the things that are posted there.
Really wild. it's the wild, wild west.
Yeah. And where we live, it's actually quite wild. There was recently one about a wolf sighting. And, you know, there's a lot of moose sightings. And, you know, there's all these things.
A lot
that
of discussion about the wild boar
yeah.
taking out the trash, you know, hitting all the trash cans. It's just very funny. But we haven't really ventured into that side. It's mostly Instagram and then YouTube watch channels mm. and yeah. Things like that.
For me, I'm more of a come from the forum mm-hmm. community, but I also spend a lot of time in the Instagram account, and that's how I find you and so on. But YouTube, I never really got into the YouTube community, and for me it's so time consuming. I mean, mm-hmm. it's hard to find time to watch long movies, but it's just me. I don't know if it's the what's your opinion about YouTube, and what's the difference with YouTube and the other places?
I mean, the funny thing is I kind of started on YouTube making Minecraft videos. It's what led me to the job in Sweden, having met the team
in
2010. So like very early YouTube days, I had a big channel with lots of subscribers. So I should be the one who's like very YouTube, but it's actually Vu watches YouTube all the time. And I only watch like our friend Britt Pierce. She has a channel, so it's like the one, you know, or like Adrian. I watch a few channels of like people that I know. Vu is our resident YouTube expert, I would say.
Well, also as part of my job, I also oversee the creative side of the Minecraft YouTube channel. But
you love video, so it's perfect.
I have always loved video, filmmaking, that's just where I feel very comfortable. But I was a late adopter to YouTube. Like I just, when YouTube was becoming bigger, I was supporting much smaller companies, Blip.tv and Vimeo, and I did collaborations with them, my brother and I, these different projects that we did. We just supported the wrong, ones. But finally, I opened myself to YouTube. And the past few years, especially during the pandemic, like many people, we've had more time to be on our devices, right? Because you're probably working from home and things are different and you're not going out as much. So I really got into YouTube. And I'm a serial hobbyist. So I kind of bounce from hobby to hobby. And I also get very, very deep on each hobby. And then I move on, right? So I want to learn everything I possibly can about a hobby and then move on. YouTube is like the best place in the world for that because you can go as deep as you want about any niche topic and you can learn so much and you can find out what other people are doing and you can just be inspired by different ideas and different ways of doing things. And so when I look at my view time on YouTube, it's ridiculous. So as with anything though, it's how you're choosing to spend your time. So since I've become more active on YouTube, I've actually watched a lot less of other things, like regular TV and movies and that kind of stuff. So it's just you have to choose.
I'm exactly the same. I also serial hobby.
Okay. Yeah. You too.
And I go deep in my hobbies as well, really deep. And what kind of hobbies have you consumed so far?
Should I make the list? I could do from January to July, it was woodworking.
Yeah. Right now it's woodworking. But I have a few that always come back. So photography. Mm-hmm. It's hard to stay totally devoted to photography 100% of the time, 100% of the year. So typically photography is something that comes in waves for me. And making videos is also similar. So those are ones that come. Guitar is also something that it's cyclical, right? Mm-hmm. But when I'm into guitar, it's like I'm so into guitar.
Speaking of cyclical, bikes.
Oh, yeah, bikes. Oh, I get really deep on bikes. So a few years back, I built my own bike, and all I cared about in the entire world was bikes. And it's
knives,
like, how many bikes?
Pens.
Oh yeah, I did. Pens. I forgot about.
Fountain pens, which was amazing. Because Boo doesn't write. Like, I love handwriting. It's one of the reasons I do my behind the scenes. I write handwrite it out on my iPad. I love writing. And then Boo was
just
buying pens.
I was so into pens. I have so many fountain pens now. last year I got really deep. Oh no, it was earlier this year. Really deep into microphones.
Microphones.
Yeah, and I've watched every microphone YouTuber and listened to countless tests.
I always know what the thing is. I mean, because Boo talks about it nonstop. But also when I walk by, I hear the YouTube video. And so with microphones, I would walk by and it's like 1, 2, 3, and I was like, oh my gosh. And then now it's much worse because with woodworking, it's just like, no one talking, just that sound every time I walk by the computer. So I'm just like, I'm going upstairs. I'm not going to be near this. It's like, sounds like the dentist.
But I've made you two cool projects.
Yeah. I always use the hobbies to my benefit.
You
but
do.
It's a very deep level of nerdiness from this one over here. I'm like a surface level.
Okay, so I guess you have had more hobbies than me. My hobbies is I spend more time with them, longer time. I did a lot of running and biking and swimming. So I did the triathlon these kind of things. And this is also an area that can go really, really nerdy.
Yeah.
You have the bikes and the swimsuit and the
all the gear. It's gear.
Yeah.
And the transition. Like, how do you go from one to the next? Yeah. And the gear that can help you do that. Yeah.
I spend a lot of time with those. And then we bought a house and we spend a lot of time with the renovating the house.
Nice.
This is crazy. You can,
you can go so deep.
There's a lot of renovation channels on our YouTube right now.
I mean, some of those hobbies, like your renovation hobby, like they really benefit your life though, right? Mm-hmm. And they benefit the people that you live with.
Yeah.
So unlike my pen hobby, which benefited
no one, at least
when I get into something like home DIY and, you know, like how to renovate the bathroom, woodworking, at least not only do I benefit because it enriches my life, you know, at home, but also Lydia gets to benefit too.
Yeah, but the downside is like Vu is... extremely passionate and excited about things, and he really wears me down over time just like listening to something. And so it's like, do I like to ride a bike? Yeah, I like to ride a bike. Do I have six bikes? Yes. Why? Because there needs to be a bike for every occasion, you know? So it's like, did I like pens? Yeah, but do I have too many now? So it's like, it really sucks me in. So yeah. I'm like, and he's like, look, here's a cool woman woodwork. And I'm like, get away from me. Just do your own thing. Every hobby doesn't have to be overlapping. Like, just no. Too many guitars.
Watches worked out.
And watches, you just like, let's listen to a podcast. Let's listen to a podcast. You know, just like, it finally, like, I reach a saturation level of information that I'm like, well, I do know a lot about it now. And then I just jump in. So, yeah, that's all of my hobbies for the most part have been, I've been worn down.
But if we go back to the hobby with watches and perhaps also with cameras and photography, as you said, this is very male dominated hobbies. What is your take, and what is your experience as a girl in these groups or in these communities?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very different. Obviously, I work in the video game industry, so I really work in a lot of male-dominated industries. Although that's most industries, I would say, and I think that, like, times are changing, which is great. Like, things are very different than they were when I started in, you know, tech 11 years ago. And I see that in the watch community, which I really love, this much more, like, openness. And I think also I just don't have time or patience for people who are, like, negative or jerks. And I don't, like, the sort of community of people that follow my account, I hope that they kind of have similar values to me, and that, like, if you see someone posting, like, fun, silly, behind the scenes, hopefully you're the kind of person who enjoys that. So then maybe you are more open and you feel like, oh, okay, this doesn't need to be the most serious thing. Like, this is something fun. So I have felt like within the watch community, it's been a little easier to carve out a space for myself, but also it's a privileged position because I am really good at photography. I have nice watches. So it's like all of these barriers that are put in front of women in a hobby like watches, I like already have done that. And then also I publicly am, you know, partners with Vu. And so I think that just like tones down some of the general creepiness that happens within communities. But I know it happens to so many of my friends, and there's definitely been times, you know, and it's never fails. It's a guy who's giving me a critique on my photography that I didn't ask for, or the time my watch is set to. And it's just, I think it's easier to ignore when you have so many amazing people around you. And I think that's, I learned that on YouTube in 2010. I mean, no one can write something worse than I've read about myself online. And so, you know, I like, no one in the watch community is going to be able to do it.
No, the watch community actually isn't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's as bad as the tech gaming.
Within certain areas, yeah. You know, and especially like our Minecraft community is very nice and wonderful, but there's definitely a lot of other communities and gaming especially, that could be very harsh if I was presenting or whatever. It's just, I think the thing I always want to get across is like the experience of a man online is extremely different from the experience of a woman who puts anything out. And so it's like if all of the awesome men can just remember that and like be the one who's like, hey, don't say that on her Instagram, then it's like, it just makes it so much nicer. And I have had that before on my photos or with other women. It's like somebody just chimes in like, dude, not here. Like, this is not what it's about. You know, someone was like on a live stream once that I was watching with two like amazing women. It was like, oh, this one, blah, blah, blah. And one of the guys just said, this is not what this is. And I was like,
this isn't that kind of channel.
Like, this is, and I think that's the part where as a community, if we can all do that and say like, no, this isn't like, this is about fun and happiness and all of us enjoying these cool things that we have in common and like luxury watches and, you know, any more than one watch is more than you need. So like, let's just have fun with it and be excited for everyone. So that's the, I hope that the people that I get to be around online like breed that more, that those similar values help a lot. But I think with any community, it's always better to be more open. But the more diversity you have in a community, the more diverse it becomes. And so that's the part that I always think, like, how can I follow more women? How can I follow more people of color? How can I share more of that? Because then the community doesn't have to be seen through one lens. Which is the same the same person's view. So that's the part that's been really important to me. I think you.
Yeah, for sure.
You've always been a great advocate. Sometimes I'm like,
calm down. I do try. Yeah. She has to tone me down. I'm not trying to, like, so it's also important to achieve a balance where it's not like, oh, Lydia needs me to defend her, because she doesn't need me to defend her. But women need advocates. And so I think the example you brought up earlier of the you know, on that live stream, there was the guy, he said something inappropriate, and just a different person who was also just watching the stream said, hey, this isn't the place for that, but didn't say it with anger or hatred, just said like, hey, and then the person just apologized. And then they had normal chats after that, right? Like, nice. Then they were just being decent. And I think that being an advocate doesn't mean just trying to jump in and be a hero and like, I will protect you. Like, I think that that's just more masculine and unnecessary masculine energy sometimes. I think sometimes it's just about setting the right tone and showing that some things aren't acceptable, and then maybe inspiring people by showing what would be better to do instead. And so, like, writing a compliment to a female creator who has made something, there's creepy ways to do it, right? And there's nice ways to do it. And if you just focus on showing people, like, hey, you can say something nice about a person without it coming across inappropriate, then you lead by example. Instead of just trying to stomp down people who are doing it wrong, because that's not really going to help them move on to a better place,
No, and it also just, you know, the thing, it's hard for all of us because it's human nature that you can have 100 amazing comments and people be like, oh, you're a photographer. Like, some of the nicest things you've ever read. But the one person who says something that really bothers you, you're like, I'm going to write back to them. And, like, what I've tried to train myself over all the years, I'm not perfect at it, but, like, that person didn't earn my time. Like, there's all these people who are putting out, like, love and fun and care and, you know, excitement and, like, I'm taking the time away from them by reply. You know, you can see sometimes how this affects people because they'll have so many nice comments and the only person they reply to is people who are like dissenters on whatever. And then what they're showing is that the best way to get an interaction is through, you know, being mean and being negative versus like, I want to give back my energy to people who are, you know, lifting me up, lifting others up, being happy, being excited. And so I think that that helped me just reframe for myself. Like, I don't actually need to say anything back. Like, if it's vulgar, it gets deleted. If it's like mildly annoying, whatever. But I don't have to reply. Like, I don't owe that back. And then instead I could go comment on a lot of other people who are great versus like, here's how this really is.
It's also, I think it goes back to like, how do you find happiness? I'm as guilty of this as anyone, but you know, the 100 positive comments, one negative comment, and you focus on the negative one. But the reality is like, you're letting that happen, right? And it takes training to start to force yourself to pay the same attention to positivity mm-hmm. that you would to negativity, or ideally you pay even more attention to the positive things. But we often let ourselves get consumed with the anger over the one negative thing, when in reality, like, that doesn't actually bring you any joy. And so trying to not only to for yourself to put those things aside and say like, hey, you know, 1 out of 100, okay, then good. I must be doing something pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's also just about like, they don't deserve to affect you in that way, because they haven't, it's like Lydia said, they didn't earn her time, but also they didn't earn the stress that you put yourself under thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so why give all of that to this person who truly does not deserve it?
I've always said that if you take this, the internet, the anonymity, if you go with the watches mm-hmm. and you have, there's a lot of money in watches mm-hmm. and you have the opinion on someone's watch that could sort of, I don't know, not really, but you think it could affect what other people think is worth. Mm-hmm. This is like the perfect storm of creating
exactly.
bad.
Yeah. I mean, our friend Britt, who makes YouTube videos, she did such a great video about sort of how, you know, the watch world and the art world have this similar sort of inflation, exactly like you're saying, of perceptions of things and how it is this storm of very influential people with money, with, and how it can really turn into something that, you know, is very different than the sort of fun of like, oh, this is a watch. Mm-hmm. And then you add in that anyone can say anything, and it, yeah, there's definitely a lot of pitfalls that could happen.
Do you think it's easier for you to find, what do you say, like Instagram friends, other girls in within the watch community? Mm-hmm. Is it more natural that you sort of bond together and then find?
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, for me, because when I started my watch Instagram account, it was because I was going to be on the 10 in 2 podcast with Kat and Catlin, and they're so great. And, you know, I had been listening to them and watching Jenny L, and I was like, okay, I'll just, you know, it would be fun to start this account. And it was like right after, or it was soon to be International Women's Day 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And then I was, you know, I wanted to follow other women's accounts. So I was I made this little like template so people could share accounts, so mainly so I could find them and follow them, like, oh, share this. And what I've been really happy about is, so I just passed 10,000 followers and 11% are women. And like, so I'm that's the number I care most about, actually. It's like, I'm always looking to be like, oh, I want to make sure, because it means like, am I finding new women? I usually like try to say a quick Instagram hi, like, hi, hello from Sweden. Because I just think it's nice to find other women in watches, and there's so many more than people think about. Like, even just before this, so I was on Instagram, like, oh, wait, I should have run across her before, but I haven't. So this is really cool. So to me, I think you're always bonding when you're in a minority with other people, and you're like, okay, like, we know what this is like. And I think the more you start to see, like, it's still like a good, like, there's a big group of women, because if you take 11%, it's 1,100 women that follow me, and my account is only watch, you know, only watch photos. So it's like, you really have to care about it, you know, to follow me. And so that it starts to feel like there's a lot more of us than you think. And I think that common bond also makes it nice too. It's like where I'm talking to a lot of really amazing women within the community.
You mentioned just when we started this recording that you were visiting some watch friends that you met. Yeah, this is nice. Tell me.
And now I just keep bringing up Bert's name.
Yeah, you've already said her name a bunch of times. But we, through Instagram, met Britt and James. They live in the UK. And actually, James was Lydia's first follower on her watch Instagram
account.
Which
we don't even understand how. I was like,
Boo,
how did you not?
Yeah, I wasn't her first follower. James was. But I forget why we talked to them the first time via video call. We did a FaceTime with them. I think it was because Britt was launching a YouTube channel and I wanted to offer some advice.
She already had launched and you had said like, oh, I love videos. So if you want to just chat about video. We love to talk about video.
And
brand.
And so then we just kind of chatted more often, you know, every couple months or so we'd have a FaceTime and then we'd always be sending messages just because comments and stuff on each other's photos. And then Britt's birthday was coming up, her 30th birthday. And so James organized for us to come over and surprise her.
Yeah. Wow.
And somehow we managed to keep it a secret and we showed up at her house for her birthday, and it was just a big surprise. But we also, all of our friends here, thought we were a little out of our minds because we had never met them in person, but we flew all the way to the UK and we booked an Airbnb with them for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just like, oh, well, we hope we like each other once we meet because we're stuck together for five days.
We're like, but I mean, our FaceTime calls were like 4 hours each.
Yeah,
so it's like you really get to know people.
But you never know. In person, people can be different.
It's true, but it was funny because everyone was like, you're going to wear your watch and go to them. I was like, their watches are nicer than ours.
Yeah, they have nicer watches. If anyone's going to get ripped off, it's them.
But I think I've met so many like friends around the world that like people who we probably wouldn't have even run across each other in Sweden, in Stockholm. And I think that's like the part that kind of keeps me in is like the photography is like, oh, I get to be creative and this is so fun. And then the people, like that's what I really love. And like the stories of watches and this like immediate bond that you can have with someone because you're like, oh, that's so cool. I'm into that too. And so with Britt and James, it was just there's a lot of other things that you have in common and you can, you know, you just become friends with people that there's not another way your paths would have crossed. And so in April, when I was in the US, which is one of the first times since the pandemic, I was in Vancouver and then I was in Florida, but that was just to see my family. And then in New York, and when I was in Vancouver and New York, I met up with people that I knew online.
That's
and
cool.
It was just so cool because you immediately, like, you're not just talking about watches, and that's what I love. You can just start talking about anything, and you're like, you have this in of we both like watches, and then you find all of these other common interests, common friends, and there's like, I think the nice thing for us is like we're very public, so it's like our names and photos, and you can look us up online, and we are exactly who we are. So I think that's just made it so other people are also willing, you know, people who, you know, aren't themselves online, they just maybe have an account and they're very private, are still willing to like meet up and bring watches because they know that they can trust us, and that's been really fun. And I don't ever take that trust lightly. Like my friend in Vancouver, she just brings like this watch roll of like the most beautiful watches, like here's some of my vintage Pateks and here's it. And I was just like, oh, but we are just met in person. But it's like, we, you know, so I think that's so special and cool. And in many ways, to me, it feels like very early in the Minecraft community where it was just small enough that you could reach everyone. Like, you could, like, send me a message on DM, and then here we are. And so I think that part is so awesome. And that extends to, like, watch CEOs are just on Instagram, you know, like, writing back to people and responding to them. And I think that's something where it's not normal, so it's like a very cool luxury that we have within the watch community to be able to find so many people and get to know them. And I think that's harder in something that's maybe as big as like photography, then you need to find a like photography niche. And so watch photography, then it's like, I know I have a lot of friends that are watch photographers, and then I have a lot of friends that just like watches, and, you know, a few friends who just like photography. So it's, I think it's so cool. It's been something really, really special. And now having like these lifelong friends that have nothing to do with work, which has been especially special for us who work together, live together, travel together.
Yeah. but I do think our perspective is also a little bit skewed, because what Lydia just said is true. Like, we are such public people. And if you look up either of our names, you can see what we've done for the last 10 years. And you can see our work. You can see our personal lives. You can see everything. None of our accounts are private. So even our personal Instagram accounts. Like, so it's very easy for people to know right away, oh, these are two real people. Yeah. And so when Lydia was saying, so when she goes to meet up with someone, they kind of already feel like, I know who this is. Mm-hmm. And that gives us a benefit. I think it might be a different experience for people who are more private, because then, you know, if they want to meet up with someone, that other person doesn't really know who they are, or doesn't at least feel like they do. And so it might be a little harder. So I think sometimes we talk about it like, oh, this, it's so easy. You can just meet up with anyone.
But I said we were public.
But I think that's... not unique to us, but that it's not everyone will have that same exact experience, that it might be a little harder for some people because they're not so public. And that's fine. Not everyone should be so public.
Yeah, and also I only meet up with people that I, even if they're not public on their profile, I know them.
Yeah.
So if I was just looking at someone and all they posted was their watches and we never like had more interaction than that, then that is not someone. Obviously, like, that's not a safe one. No. You have to use some inner, you know, I've been meeting up with people since my early Minecraft days, and you need to know more about them. Many people were also very similarly like private, because you're, you know, maybe making YouTube videos. You don't want people to know where you live, what you look like for some people. And so to me, it's the same. You have to, you're first building a relationship online. Mm-hmm. And that means that both people are like, figuring out how to trust each other, and then saying, okay, well, I trust you with this information and you trust me. It has to be both ways. So for my friend in Vancouver, like, she knew she could trust me, but the same for me. Like, mm-hmm. I also knew that this is a real person. We had talked, I had been on a podcast with her, you know, so it you definitely have to have both sides of it.
Yeah, but there's other benefits to it too, living here in Sweden. So even when I sell things on Blocket, like, I've had a guy in Germany wanted to buy a guitar from me, and he sent the money before he even arrived. Mm. And I was like, let me tell you who I am. And he's like, oh, I've already looked you up. You are way too public to hide. So I feel like this is a very safe transaction. And it's happened multiple times when I've sold things on Blocket, that people, like, they Google you and they look you up and they're like, oh, this guy can't hide anywhere. He's way too public to hide. He's not going to rip me off. So there's, of course, downsides to being so public too. But I think it's really nice to feel that the person I am on my Instagram or on our YouTube channel or on all those things is the same person that I actually am. And I haven't had to kind of create an online persona for myself.
All right.
You're trying to start conversations, and sometimes it's just like going from replying like a thumbs up on a story to like saying a little more. And like with a lot of people, I'm like, hey, you know, like, can I just know your first name? So at least I can be like, hey, name, how are you? Like, I won't use it anywhere, but I just, for me, I can't do the impersonal of just like, you know, there's no names. it doesn't need to be out online, but it still just feels like, well, we're interacting, we're talking, you know, I'm too personal.
You still value the human connection that comes with a first name.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It still matters.
Yeah.
It still matters.
Yeah. And so I think that part, you know, is always funny, because I've also written to people in the same way. And then later I'm like, in a normal world, it's pretty weird. There's always like a bigger tolerance, and you're like, well, okay, there, you know, you're always trying to figure out like, well, this is a real person. Okay. who else in my friend circle follows, you know, and then you see some things and you get some clues about like, okay, this is someone we'll start talking and then I'll get to know them.
Find out if it's a good person or someone with bad intention.
And I mean, mostly you can figure it out.
Usually
very quickly,
a vibe.
I think.
Let me tell you, just this week, or maybe it was last week, I was contacted by a person that was interested in one of my watches, and he wanted to buy it. And sometimes it's how it's done. I mean, someone show interest, and perhaps this watch is for sale or not. This person offered me way too much money.
That's the first sign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we had a little bit of discussion, and he called me. He called me on WhatsApp, and I was a little bit surprised because all the scammers I met, they only write. And But he called me. He was French, Italian, something. And I didn't know how far to go with this, but we decided that we should meet up in Italy. Mm-hmm. But when I started to sort of make my... What do you say? If this is going to happen, it has to do it my way.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, I'm not going to risk
conditions.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got a little bit angry, and I realized this was...
It was a scam.
Yeah. It was a real scam. And it started out really friendly. And I sort of figured him out.
Yeah, exactly.
But it took me quite some time. And I really hope I have the... experience that I never will end up in a real scam and lose money, watches, or get whatever happens. But it's a big risk. It's a big risk.
I think it definitely is. And I mean, I think you always have to be suspicious of people. And so I think that's the part where, like... It feels kind of bad because every person could be someone scamming you.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of think about how that feels, I guess. But at the same time, you know, there are so many amazing people and, you know, like I said, people who aren't public online but are willing to be personal and, you know, like let you know who they are. And I think anytime, you know, you get into... people being very, like, overly private when they're asking you for something, that's where I'm always like, okay, well, no, that's not okay. Because if, you know, like, in your case, it's like, you reached out, you want to buy this, you were friendly at first, and as soon as I kind of asked for, like, here's some things I need to check, then the second someone's like, oh, no, that's way too far, you're like, but you...
You've asked so much of me.
So I think that there's a lot of good... flags, but you always have to be careful with anything, especially when you have things that are nice and valuable, and you know, people can take advantage of that. So you're always kind of weighing that out, and that's been since the beginning for us with being online, is you're always like, you know, it's also nerve-wracking at the same time. It's not all perfect.
I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, but it's almost always true that I know within the first one or two messages, but you're like, you want it to be real, you know, not just because you're trying to sell something even if it's not like that, it's like, you want to believe that the world is a wonderful place and everyone who reaches out to you only has good intentions. So usually it'll be a thing where I tell Lydia like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird. Like in the first couple messages of something, maybe I'm selling something on Blocket. It sounds like I'm constantly selling things on Blocket, but I have sold a lot of camera gear on Blocket and Apple devices. But like, it's like those first two messages, you kind of know already, but you want it to not be true.
Yeah,
and so then you let it go on longer. Probably if you look back, there was probably a moment very early on when you were like, this doesn't seem right, but you wanted it to be real. And then he's like offering a lot of money. And that's how they get people because, you know, none of us want to think we're the kind of person who could be scammed, right? We all want to think of ourselves as, I'm too smart for that. Sometimes it's like you go into denial before the scam has even happened. And maybe a part of you knows that this is not right, but you're like, no,
I know this is going to be good. and I think a lot of people get themselves in trouble that way.
Yeah.
And scamming, it's like an art form in itself, right? Yeah. Like, and this scammer sound like they were actually pretty good because it was very friendly. They weren't overly pushy. Often you can tell right away because the person is too aggressive, exactly. Yeah. Right? But I think there's this like new generation of scammer that knows that being like personable will put down people's defenses. Yeah, you just got to be careful.
Yeah. It's a big risk. I mean, and as you said, it's a lot of money in this watch community. So.
And it's getting more high profile than ever, right? Yeah. Because now New York Times and Forbes and everyone's writing articles about, you know, the value of watches and our watches investments and you get all that stuff. Then, of course, there's going to be new attention and it's not always positive attention.
No, that is, I think, the worst part with the watch hobby.
Yeah.
The money.
Yeah. It is the worst part.
It is. In both, you can't buy what you want because it's too expensive. And if you manage to buy something, you're always afraid someone's going to steal it from you.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It takes a lot of the enjoyment out.
Yeah. It does. It does. It would be so nice if all these things were just cheap.
Yeah. It should. Yeah, really. Okay, this has been really nice. I want to sort of wrap up this whole hour we've been talking with asking you about the future. What's your plan for the future? Your watch plans and your internet community plans and Boo, especially for you, what's your next hobby?
You want to go?
Okay, I'll go first. Okay, so watch plans. I've been thinking about this a lot because we are watch people, so we're always thinking about it. And my mind has changed a lot. But when I bought my first like big purchase was 2014, and I bought my Rolex Explorer 2. And what I really wanted at the time was an Explorer or a Submariner. But I had just been to this meeting in Hollywood, and there was only six people at the table at this lunch meeting, and five of them were wearing Submariners. So I was like, I can't be another Submariner person. But my thoughts have changed over time because, you know, that was a very unique situation. I've never, ever been in another situation like that. Not even at a watch meetup have I seen so many Submariners all in one place. So I'm really thinking about the Green Bezel Submariner now that people like to call the Kermit or Starbucks or all these names. But I just...
The Rolex.
Yes, the Rolex Submariner.
Well, I mean, someone might be new to watches.
And so I... Like that's kind of what's on my mind as the next like big purchase for me. I think it's just the Submariner is such a classic watch, but also with the green bezel, it gives it something a little bit different. And then at the same time, I'm also looking at the Tudor Black Bay Ceramic. You know, came out almost 2 years ago now, or 2 years ago now, and I've just loved it ever since it came out. It's the first non Omega Metis certified watch, and it's like such a different material for my collection. I have nothing that's all black. I have nothing that's ceramic. I think it would just make a really great addition to what I have. So that's where my thoughts are.
I tried that one on, the ceramic one. It's really nice, even though it's a little bit too big for me.
It's too big for me too.
But it's nice. It's really nice. But when you talk about the Kermit or the Submariner with green bezel, do you talk about the five-digit?
No, the modern one. The modern one, ceramic. Yeah.
The ceramic one.
I really do like the ceramic, because my GMT Master 2 is also the ceramic. And I love the old aluminum bezels. They're just beautiful. But there's something about a modern Rolex that when I put them on, I really, truly feel like I don't have to worry about them. And when I put on vintage Rolexes, you know, you treat it like anything that's valuable. Whereas my modern Rolexes, I don't treat them like the value that they really are. I wear them mountain biking and I wear them doing woodworking and I chop wood with them. And it's like, to me, I don't worry about them at all. I feel like, you know, and part of it is my own perception, but I feel like they can handle anything.
Right.
And so I like buying modern Rolexes because then I can just put them on and not think about them.
Mm. Yeah. And then I guess for me with watches, I just talk about Brit I just love her. But when we were visiting our friends in the UK, I tried on her black ceramic Daytona. And I've never cared about the Daytona at all. And I think it looks nice on people, but I've always been very much like, you know, not for me.
Yeah.
And then getting to wear one, you know, I wore hers and she wore my my root beer. And I was just like, oh, I really love this watch. It just suits my style and, you know, my life. And also I like the connection to Florida, the Daytona. Nice. Like it just feels really fun. And, you know, then as a watch person, you're always trying to justify. So I'm like, and I just got my license in Sweden. So obviously
celebrate
racing. You know, like you're always picking a random thing. But so that's kind of on my radar. But also I just love looking at Chrono 24, like every different type of watch. So I would say I'm always shifting around. And because I've gotten into watches in such a deep way in the past 2 years, I would say, then, you know, I have things that need to go out of my collection and then be some new things. And just, you know, it's like lifestyle now versus what would be fun if I ever went out again, did something cool or went to a party. I don't know. But on the non-watch side, I think we definitely need to restart our YouTube channel.
Yes.
About watches. It's about watch photography.
It's just in a pause. And we released season one, which was three episodes. And season two is coming soon.
But I think like that really merges a lot of the fun that, you know, that's probably like every hobby of ours combined almost, because it's like being on camera, which is something we love and do in our work. And then Vu.
Storytelling.
Yeah, Vu's doing all of the editing and like doing an amazing job with that. We have a set in our garage and making. So I think getting back to like making videos about watches and then just continuing with photography and sort of seeing where it's going and maybe work with some more brands would be really cool. And work with, like it's just kind of fun because it can go any different way. And so I think that's the thing. I'm always very the same as getting the job at Mojang. It was like, come back to Sweden with us. And I'm like, sure. You know, so I kind of like to say yes when something comes up and then it leads to a bunch of other interesting and fun things. So I'm excited to see where the next couple years in the watch world take us.
I think it's funny you brought that up because like part of the reason we've done all these things like our watch Instagram and our YouTube channel and all that is because we're so open to new things, but it's also something that holds us back because a lot of people that you see, like we talk about our friend Britt over and over in this podcast, and she's been very focused on building her YouTube channel. And so she's been working on it and she puts out content super consistently and she's doing this YouTube channel and she doesn't miss a beat. But for us, because we're so open to doing different things, we've talked about launching a podcast. I've talked about starting a YouTube channel for woodworking.
We're not part of that.
Unfocused and so open to new opportunities that sometimes we don't put the work into a single thing and make sure like, hey, let's make sure this thing is something before we move on to the next thing.
But I have to also sort of defend you. Isn't that how you keep it fun?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
that's what, you know, even with the YouTube channel, we had like really ambitious goals that we're going to record a video a week and then like work got busy and we work full-time jobs. Mm. So it's like, if this is fun and we just like we're doing it for the foreseeable future as only fun, then the second you kind of turn it into work is when it stops being fun. Yeah, so if Vu wants to take a forever break from Instagram, I keep bugging him about that actually. But it's also okay because you'll get the inspiration back and want to do it later. So I'm like, we have plans for the YouTube channel.
We
talk about
big plans, actually.
Podcasting, and like they'll happen or they won't, and either way it's fine. Mm-hmm. So I think that is, you know, if you can feel like that, then it keeps the fun. Otherwise, it's like a second and third job. Exactly. I don't want it to be that at all. Yeah.
So we'll stay overly open to new opportunities. I mean, when Lydia landed in Sweden to live here and to work at Mojang, she had never even been in Europe. She had to get her passport to move here for her new life. So that is someone who is very open to new opportunities, like that's landing cool. in a country that you've never been in and you're already committed to living there. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah, I think, you know, anything that, like being a little naive and, but also thinking you can do stuff, like works out well.
Don't know your limitations. No. That's my advice.
Exactly. I
like that. Just feel like there are no limits and then you can do it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That is great. William Boo, this has been a great conversation. I really like this. It was nothing as I thought it should be. It was much, much better.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah. I was like, oh no.
A lot of good advice for the online account on Instagram and the YouTube channels and so on. And also a little bit how to behave on the internet in general.
Be nice.
Yeah, be nice. And be yourself as much as possible. And also, don't get fooled by scammers.
Don't. Always be a little suspicious.
Yeah. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
I'm so happy.
Thank
to
you
have
for
you.
Having us.
This was amazing.
So fun.
Really
the
fun.
Time flew by.
It did. It did. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.